is my old friend. I've come to talk with you again because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was sleeping.
It is interesting to me how earlier, sometime last year, we began to open our program, many of our programs, with this particular song. For those of us who've been around for a number of years, it was an unfamiliar tune written by and performed by Simon and Garfunkel. This particular version has, if you've ever seen the video on YouTube, is got quite a story. But it's filmed in black and white. It's got a very dark approach to it, and I think it's amongst the reasons I began to use it, and will still use it on occasion. What has been interesting to me is the number of texts and emails that I have received in this last 8 or 10 months that we've used this, that it's just blown people away. They're familiar with the song, they're familiar with the words, but this particular version of the song took on totally different meaning for people and for listeners. It tells me that, in probably so many respects, that we chose the right piece of music, which is always what we try to do. Good evening. Welcome to a Friday night installment of The Edge of Darkness. I'll be with you for the next hour. Interesting, after last night's program, I received an email from a listener who was blown away with the opening piece of music. He just got all excited, the Elvis thing, and then he realized, wait a minute, that's Bennett's show. And he concluded by making reference to the death of Chick Corea yesterday, an amazing musician. And my God, their people are dropping daily. Bad, bad, very rare form of cancer he had. You know, we have, this is what, the 12th day of February. It's Adolf Lincoln's birthday today. And you may not understand that statement, but I'm no fan. Joey has been, well, I'm not going to say in office, because Lord knows where he's doing his stuff. But Joey's been in his office less than a month. The damage caused has been unbelievable. The man is veritably killing the American dream. Of course, he constantly asserts that he has the science on his side regarding his policies, and yet offers absolutely no concrete evidence in support of his contention that America is in a global crisis to such a dire degree that it demands the closure of the Keystone Pipeline. Maybe even the currently active Dakota Pipeline as a part of his solution. His party's overwrought claims has him and his cronies delivering every fallacious justification under the sun, all in order to lull the masses into conferring their blessings upon his madness of leaving a known quantity in energy independence, all for unreliable wind and solar energy. But his cronies are pressing his opposition hard as this battle unfolds, as they're now making it ever more difficult to ship oil and natural gas to refineries and consumers. Moments before going on the air, I happened to be on Facebook checking a couple of things I'd posted earlier today, and somebody had made a comment that, in effect, the cost of a barrel of oil has gone up nearly $20 a barrel since Joey tripped into the White House. And yet, rather than making a serious comparative study and analysis regarding Joey's climate change initiatives, which got nothing to do with him, he's doing what he's instructed to do, he simply acted in default to the Obama policies that are virtually one and the same, a few large exceptions that came along at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's behest. The young commie idiot that she is. Poor thing. Poor dangerous thing. And so Keystone gets closed. America Last takes the front burner in the grand scheme of things, while Joey's allowed to carry on without pointing to any evidence that warrants and necessitates his acts or revealing the specific dangers that he seeks to avert. He also gets to conveniently circumvent an explanation of his claim that climate-related costs are increasing over the last 4 years. That's bullcrap. As a matter of fact, over the last 20 years, America and the United and most of Europe are the two regions of the world whose expansion of gases and everything else has actually gone down massively. And yet it's China and other places where it's just escalating. So back to Joey. How convenient it all is. Rising climate-related costs. Surely that translates to more money in his and the party's pockets. So he and John Kerry, you know, that Hanoi jeans buddy, can keep living in the style that none of us will ever live to see as they jet from one location to another. And these rotten commie bastards can take their communist-inspired climate mumbo-jumbo, another impolite word for BS, and they can go straight to hell as far as I'm concerned. Because the more many of us have to deal with this anti-American globalist commie crap, I believe the closer many will come to helping these commies on their way. John Kerry, the climate czar, states that Joe knows Paris, that's the Paris Accord, is not enough. Not when almost 90% of all the planet's global carbon emissions come from outside of U.S. borders. We could go to zero carbon emissions tomorrow and the problem isn't solved. And then there's these words from Neil Crabtree, a laid-off Keystone Pipeline welding foreman who said, "I've got a sickening feeling in my stomach tonight and an aching feeling in my heart that I've never felt." You know, most people don't realize what Keystone Pipeline is all about. And I must honestly say that as a rule, when a pipeline is buried deep in the ground, it's deep. And it's pretty damn well secure. And they come back and they landscape over it and they plant trees and it's nice and green over it. And it's quite exquisite to look at. It's not like they're just digging a hole and walking away from it. But the interesting thing, and I've made this clear for however many years this fight's been going on, Keystone Pipeline has nothing to do with putting oil into America. It's not going to get turned into gasoline to pump our gas, our cars and our trucks. No, it's heading on its way down south. And it's going to get loaded on ships. And it's going to get hauled to many other places around the world. So now we have massive amounts of people out of work. And this administration doesn't give a damn. It really doesn't get much clearer than this, my friends. Joey and his administration, or hers, or whoever it is, all of its associated communist red, radical enemies of America, have entered into policies that are designed to do nothing less than completely destroy U.S. sovereignty, U.S. power, and establishment control of capital to their own ends. Just so they can completely erase our founding principles from government in favor of their arbitrary mandates, edicts, dictates, illegal orders, all of which violate America in every way that one can possibly imagine. And in the process, their evil policies and machinations place America last. All while they advance and benefit China and Russia and Venezuela and Iran and maybe even Ukraine and many of America's enemies. I mean, don't kid yourself. You know, Joey and his son are still deeply invested in Ukraine. How many people in Washington have got children that actually are on the boards of directors for companies in the Ukraine? It's shocking. But that's a story for another night. Now, in recent years, through common sense energy policies advanced by conservatives and Trump, America became energy independent through offshore drilling for oil, opening federal lands for oil extraction and fracking right here in the States and Canada. And the Keystone Pipeline was set in motion to further ensure that energy independence. All of this removed us from under the OPEC thumb. One would think that the leftist and Joey's criminal commie cronies would be happy after years of crying no blood for oil. And yet Joey and Representative Cortez's squad would rather exchange subjugation to OPEC and oil for subjugation to China, the biggest emitter of carbon emissions in the world, who also controls most of the supply of rare earth elements, and I'm not talking about a band from the 60s, that are necessary for the wind and solar industries that Joey wants to force upon all of us immediately and abruptly. No real transition period. Because he and his fellow travelers overreach in their rush to implement their insane Green New Deal. And so, just over 2 weeks ago, noting that coal jobs were affected by Biden's energy policy as well, West Virginia Attorney General Patrick Morrisey stated, "I think Biden is kicking the American people when they're down economically, and it's not a message of unity that he's been talking about." Now, keep in mind, prior to Joey, America's reality has been a country powered by an abundant supply of inexpensive domestic energy, free from international unrest. As Iranian threats to the Straits of Hormuz and Islamic terrorist threats in the Gulf region no longer forced our nation's economy and manufacturing base to grind to a halt for lack of supply. Notably, the U.S. carbon dioxide emissions are at their lowest in a generation, in great part due to significant efforts implemented by the oil and gas industry themselves. And our nation recorded the largest emissions decline of any country in 2019, down 140 million tons from the previous year. So one cannot help but think back to the presidential debate in Nashville in October, when old Crazy Joe said that he would transition away from oil and fossil fuels while suggesting it would be a gradual transition, largely completed by the year 2025, totally completed by the year 2050. But Trump saw it for precisely what it is now proving to be, as he noted that basically what Biden is saying is that he's going to destroy the oil industry. Will you remember that? Texas, Pennsylvania, Oklahoma, Ohio, et cetera, et cetera. And so with doubts weighing heavily in his mind, what little is left of it, on whether his energy policies could pass in a Congress so evenly divided, immediately upon being placed in the office of the president, Joey broke out his executive order pen and went nuts. January 20th, revoked TC Energy Corporation's federal permit to construct the Keystone Pipeline, which was soon followed by a plethora of consequential associated climate change executive orders, such as rejoining the Paris Accord without Senate ratification, just as Obama had done. Then enacting a moratorium on new federal oil and gas leases. And to think that this is just the start of what will prove to be the longest 4 years of anyone's life, except I don't think the bastard's going to live 4 years. Because Biden is acting by way of his false narrative, a suggested climate change emergency, a national security threat, all to implement more job-killing initiatives. Under Ocasio-Cortez's Green New Deal, in order to create the crucial framework for meeting the climate challenges we face. Rejoining the Paris Accord alone will cost Americans an extra $30,000 for each family and over 400,000 jobs over the next 8 to 10 years, essentially imposing a $2.5 trillion global tax on American production. And furthermore, the agreement imposes onerous carbon emissions edicts on America that demand a reduction of 30% below 2005 levels, even as this agreement allows countries like China and India to continue to emit massive amounts of greenhouse gases into the air, heavily pollute the air. And this agreement punishes the United States, and it is far from the symbolic move the Democratic Party communists have attempted to paint it. And ironically and incredulously, Biden killed 53,000 U.S. jobs immediately with a stroke of a pen, with another 1.6 million jobs slated to disappear over his first term due to the numerous executive orders emanating from his first work week in office. You think he had a damn thing to do with writing those executive orders? Nothing. They were all written for him, and he was told, sign it, Joe. 11,000 were existing jobs, 42,000 more family-sustaining jobs have been guaranteed by contract between TC Energy and labor unions in August of 2020. Biden's pen strokes were also accompanied by the sound of the $2 billion in total earnings for those workers swirling down the government toilet created by Biden and company. And so now you got Joey. And come on, I want to swallow, and John Kerry, and little Petey Buttigieg, AOC, so many other administration-red radical commies have suggested that these displaced oil and coal workers can get new jobs in solar energy. And Kerry offers that they can be the people to go to work to make solar panels. Where? China? Because that's where 90% of the solar panel industry is currently located. At the same time, Joey was so egregiously destroying all these jobs that they were so important and necessary to the survival of thousands of Americans and their own communities, he established a justice initiative to steer 40% of relevant federal investments to disadvantaged communities. Who's really disadvantaged here, Joey? Maybe conservative America. It falls on the wrong side of the ideological metrics that determine who will receive help and who will be left to languish in misery and poverty. Recently appearing on Fox News, one Neil Crabtree, a foreman on the Keystone Pipeline, exposed Biden's hypocrisy, noting that Hunter Biden and Joey have international business deals with CEFC, China Energy, and Burisma, a Ukrainian gas company that gave Hunter a seat on its board. And with some degree of disgust and pain in his voice, Crabtree stated, they're killing the jobs that are here and selling a fairy tale of jobs that aren't. I'm a pipeliner. My grandfather did it. My daddy did it. This country was built on fossil fuels. We're the superpower we are today because of fossil fuels. And Crabtree ended the interview by stating, "It bothers me when they're overseas setting up family members to profit off the same thing that they want to stop here in America. That is definitely aggravating. I'm in the process of trying to live the American dream right now, and I'm building a house, but the bank may own it before I ever get a chance to live in it. So I'm definitely worried." The API suggested in one 2020 report that banning fracking and halting federal oil leases could trigger a recession in America, accompanied by a significant decline in economic output and a damaged gross domestic product. It was then estimated that the GDP would fall $1.2 trillion by 2022. That's next year. Because of fracking and leasing of oil and gas were banned outright. And here we are. And soon after Joey's flurry of climate change exec orders, Brooks Simmons, president of the Petroleum Alliance of Oklahoma, stated, "This is just the start. It'll get worse. And meanwhile, the laws of physics and chemistry and supply and demand remain in effect. Oil and natural gas prices are going up, and so will home heating bills, consumer prices, and fuel costs." Interesting enough, even Native American Indians who sit on oil-producing lands have aired complaints already. The Ute Indian tribe in Utah, residing on the Uinta and Ouray reservations, didn't mince words in their letter to the Interior Department over the restrictions on oil production. And in their letter, they stated, "The Ute Indian tribe and other energy-producing tribes rely on energy development to fund our governments and provide services to our members. Your order is a direct attack on our economy, sovereignty, and our right to self-determination. Indian lands are not federal public lands. Any actions on our lands and interests can only be taken after effective tribal consultation." Interesting. And so, with some foreshadowing of things to come in September of 2020, Mike Summers, president and CEO of the American Oil Institute, also appeared on Fox Business News and warned, "Banning federal leasing and development on federal lands and waters will derail decades of U.S. energy progress and return us to the days of relying on foreign energy sources hostile to American interests." But then, of course, Joey disingenuously claimed that he took these actions out of concern for the environment. It's not escaped any knowledgeable person's attention that oil will still be transported by rail and train every day for the near future in an extremely more dangerous and hazardous manner than the virtual near total security of a pipeline. Ah, but you see, my friends, throughout the course of this past week, we've begun to discover who are the people who are going to most profit out of this. Those who own the transportation companies and the rail lines that are going to be now transporting that oil. Does the name Warren Buffett ring a bell with any of you? You know, to get maybe a better picture of where all this is going to take us, one only needs to look at California's failed experiment with green energy, which has proven disastrous for the state. Wind and solar technology to date does not provide sufficient battery storage capabilities to support those energy models when the wind is stopped and the clouds are thick. And the resulting rolling blackouts that are now regular occurrences in California have resulted in the communist-aligned Democrat policymakers, Agenda 2030, the world economic crowd, all of which inflicts more deprivation on the people by demanding curtailed energy consumption, keeping your lights off, unplugging your appliances until needed, setting thermostats at uncomfortable temperatures rather than add a greater supply of fossil fuels back into the energy base. The purpose of all of this, all these executive orders, it's not the reduction of carbon dioxide emissions, but rather they punish businesses and entire industries and their workers for not being sufficiently green and for rejecting the massive worldwide redistribution of wealth wealth schemes that are an integral aspect of these policies. It is the hammer and sickle of the Democratic Party, driving its opposition into the ground and cutting it down, never to return, if they have their way. And all of this is in the name of the Great Reset and global cooperation that overrules U.S. sovereignty. And so less than 2 weeks ago, January the 25th, one of Biden's executive orders created the Made in America office that will be deeply entwined with the president's commitment to invest in American manufacturing, including clean energy and critical supply chains, grow good-paying union jobs, and advance racial equity. Simply amazing. Essentially, this means that not only those businesses that join in the progressive communist agenda and their Green New Deal, in other words, clean energy, along with the race-based quota system, will be able to secure a federal contract, which is merely one more facet of the weaponization of government institutions and policies to ensure that the party reigns supreme for many long years into the future, or until the weight of their financial incompetence and malfeasance and largesse and criminal imbroglios bring it all tumbling down. And my friends, that's what's happening. You've got to keep several things in mind here. Joey is not a man of science. He's a red, radical, raving, pliable communist demagogue waving the flag deceptively, emoting in false piety as a devout Catholic who rejects truth as he, well, meaning Kamala and Susan Rice and the squad and the administrative controllers, he proceeds with plans that result in devastating economic damage to our country due to his economic and climate change policies, largely because he knows precisely what will follow. He's ignored the manifold objections to his climate change agenda, as he full well expects to see the majority of America so impoverished and weakened by a massive energy instability and political conflict across America that the people cry out for a savior from government. A savior from government. And as Biden and the squad offer up Marx and Mao tyranny in place of Jeffersonian freedom, far too many Americans will be far too willing to accept. They are complying with the party, which ensures even deeper and wider conflicts to come, since freedom-loving Americans cannot possibly sit and do nothing, because our entire lives are being destroyed and a new tyranny is arising in America. But then didn't so much of this begin with the mask? You see, the short and sweet of it all is that Joey's delusions of renewal energy in a dangerous and grandiose fashion are a menace and existential threat to U.S. energy security, economic security, national security. You know, there's a segment of the population that would probably welcome back Trump's loud, exclamatory, often amusing and fun histrionics and sensible energy policies over Joey's fakery and reckless, impoverishing energy initiatives. I'm still praying for that miracle from God. What a lovely sight that some pillars of salt would be right now. Or a bomb being dropped on Washington, D.C. That's my choice, not theirs. Oh, my goodness. Michael, ignore my message. If we got a couple minutes, let's go ahead and take a break. And hopefully he's there. Maybe he's not. It's been an interesting afternoon. I'll tell you, it's been an interesting day.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24-7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Oh my, oh my. Time flies when you're having so damn much fun. Last night, I shared with you very briefly a very brief overview about an article which is published over at metropolis.cafe. Entitled, Is Remote Learning Causing a Mental Health Crisis Among Teens and Children? Now, I only bring that back up to you again as a reminder that I found in getting into this thing that I had about a 60-year-old local contact. The story's about a gal named Paige Gagerman, highly motivated student. Deerfield High School, Illinois, junior. Get dressed every day, set herself up for a day of school at her desk, kitchen. But now in the second semester, she sits in her bed with her sweatshirt hood over her head. Remote learning has worn her down. And she said, I think that all the hope and all the life has been drained out of me and my peers and really the teachers as well. I think it's very apparent in my grades, my commitment to my classes. The story goes on, which I'm not going to share with you. I gave you the basis of it, and then I strongly invite you to please go read it. Several other communities within that location I had immediate ties to. Evanston, Illinois. I live but blocks away from Evanston in far north Chicago. I worked at a place in the early 70s, Evanston Volkswagen, for Herman Eberhardt, my sales manager, Jerry, and I'm blanking on his last name. And yet my wife and I bought their home. That was our first home, Jerry and his wife, Sharna. Sharna became the godmother to my daughter. Interesting. She's Jewish. We're not. Also, this discussed a suicide that had taken place in January from a Glenbrook North High School student. That's where I went to high school till the third week of my senior year, and I said enough of this crap and walked out of it. Why do I share that brief introduction to you? Because we're finding more and more stories like this. More and more stories like this. Today, out of Pittsburgh. A year ago, one Lena Carson, pulling straight A's at her city's creative and performing arts magnet school located across the river from her parents' home, swam at the local YMCA every day in preparation for the annual state competition and enjoyed the everyday social life of a teenager. But today she's sitting at home. Again. It's been a year since she was able to walk into the CAPA, that's the school, to which she had to earn admission through a portfolio of her work and her interact with her teachers, her friends. Her daily swims are gone, along with her social life. Her outside activities have diminished to walking the dog around the block. In the beginning, like most teenagers, she thought of it as an extended snow day. And then the days turned into weeks. What started as an escape from school went from fun to dread. In the beginning, she said, I was like, I have this time off. It's going to be so fun. And now going to school is all I want. The hardest part for her is all of the false starts. Four times over the past year, they've been told they were going back, given a date, and then a few days before, sometimes the day before we're supposed to get to the classroom, they abruptly change the rules again. And it tugs at her emotions. And they've told us four different times that we're going back to school, and I was like, oh my gosh, I get to see my friends, I get to wear my clothes to school, I get to learn with my peers, then I'll get to go swim. That's how she explained the routines of her young life that she's now lost. It's really disappointing whenever they say, oh, never mind. And I understand that there's risks and there's dangers, but it's also just, it really takes away your motivation, she says. A bright student who skipped a grade, her straight A's have now dipped to D's. Lena says she struggles to complete assignments, not because she can't, but because of a lost will. I have nothing to look forward to, she said. And the Pittsburgh Board of Education recently announced that Pittsburgh public school students will not return to buildings until at least April, making the fourth time in 12 months that the district announced students would return to classes, only to rescind the opening just before the doors were set to open. And the board voted 7-2 for the plan, with the members citing health and safety for students and staff. And the Pittsburgh Federation of Teachers president said keeping the students out of the school is the wise thing to do until the whole teaching staff has gotten the COVID vaccine. And the roller coaster of openings and closures is also the most challenging part of her parents. That according to Carson's father, Dr. Paul Carson, a hospitalist who spends his days and nights in the COVID-19 ward at the local city hospital. And he says he knows it's not just his 14-year-old daughter and 11-year-old son who are flailing during this isolation. kids need to be in school. Parents need to speak up about this for no other reason than the sake of their education and mental health. But the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention data shows that beginning with the closings last spring, emergency rooms across the country experienced a spike in the number of visits for children under the age of 18 for mental health needs. And Carson is frustrated with the school boards and the teachers' unions mangling children's lives. And he's even more frustrated as a physician as he sees the CDC head confirm what he already knew. Because it is possible to get children to school safely without hinging the return on vaccines. My kids are flailing, he says sadly. And he's also frustrated that many parents remain silent because of the social outcasting that happens when you do so. When he posted his frustrations with the school system and the neighborhood Facebook page, few agreed with him in public. Because people are unwilling to get in the crosshairs publicly of something that has nothing to do with politics. But they're afraid it might appear political. That's how Carson explained it, adding that his Facebook direct messages told a different story. Overwhelmingly, he said, people agreed with me. And he was willing to put his neck out there because he cares about not only his children, but also this whole generation of students. And different political perspectives should never be a part of the equation. This isn't a left-right problem, he said. It is a unilateral problem. This is our children. They need to go back to school. We need to follow the science. That is my main point, he said, and I am unwilling to have my children's education held hostage any longer. Regarding online school, his daughter Lena said, it's not pushing me at all the same way that regular school does. And then her voice dropped when asked how much she wanted to go back to school. Very badly, she said. That's the main thing I want. I think it would make things a lot better. I think I'd just be happier in general. Probably. My friends, these are some amazingly shocking and sad times. Some of the things I just shared with you, I see it in my own granddaughter. I see her down. I see her dejected. I see her talking less and less. She never had a lot of friends. She had people she thought were friends. Until she finally woke up one day and realized that they were all using her. And yet, right now, she lives with her grandmother and grandfather. There's no mother in her life, which I hate to say it, I'm glad about. But her father lives with us. She goes out for about an hour to an hour and a half every night with her father. They go for a walk. They talk. They laugh. They have fun. They go to Circle K. They get a drink. They walk back home. I sometimes worry about it. The streets are darker than usual in more ways than one. And I get concerned for both their welfare. What becomes interesting about all of this is, strangely enough, her grades have improved. But I'm not sure that that's honest. Every night when I go on the air, within 4 minutes after the program begins, my phone rings. And it's the school trying to inform me that your child has missed one or more of their classes today. Maybe she didn't miss the whole class. Maybe she just got bored and got up and walked out of her room where she does her homework all day with the stupid Zoom class crap. And I think it is. It's sheer boredom. There's no interaction with other students. It's sickening. How legitimate are the increases in the grades? Or is it because if the school passes you, and advance you to the next grade, they get more money? I mean, in reality, you do understand that that's part of attendance. The more the students are, quote, in attendance, whether it be face-to-face, in a classroom, in many cases now behind plexiglass cubicles. Oh, yes. I saw a video on that about an hour before going on the air tonight. A classroom that's been completely reconstructed. Every single desk has got plexiglass around it. They've got to ensure nobody gets the Rona, you know. And yet children are the least susceptible to that. Or is this more about protecting the health of the teacher? I don't know. Yes, when they advance, when they're in attendance, the school district gets more money. How much money could they possibly need this year? They've not had to run the heating, the air conditioning. They've not had to have the trash picked up each and every day because the kids are slobs at school and throw their junk all over the place and spit on the floor and drink drinks and everything else. The place is clean. You're not having to pay the janitors. Or maybe they're on a contract and they get paid the same whether they work or not, like the teachers do. Think about all of these things. Isn't that interesting? And I watched my granddaughter just curl up more each and every day. And I know that some of you are going through the same thing with your children, your grandchildren, those that you're taking care of. It's horrific to me. Just horrific. Another piece, and I'm going to be publishing this one later tonight. I think this is the first time that I've done an article about the education world, and in this particular case, because of the insanity with COVID and the masks and all this other crap, a friend of mine on Facebook went to go to the zoo today. Now, remember, the zoo's completely outdoors. Nothing more than the smell of fresh air and gorilla poop. And because she didn't have a mask, they wouldn't let her in. They demanded she wear a mask. She said, no, I'm not. Well, you can't come in then. And so she left and decided to spend the day by herself. She's from California. Grew up in Fresno. Decided to go back and visit places she had spent so much time in. Time at as she was growing up. Went to some amazing places, all outdoors. Nobody else demanding masks, gardens, and it just, she needed this. We all need this. What, am I going to go to the Phoenix Zoo and tell me I got to wear a mask? Well, excuse me, but kiss my assets. I'm not playing the game. I'm seeing less and less argument about the mask issue on the road, but then I'm not out there that often. I just don't care to be out that often. I went to the post office this morning. Mail I was expecting was not there. I just came home. What else was I going to do? If there had been checks there, I'd have driven to the bank and I'd gone through the drive-thru and deposited them and been done with it. And I came home and I worked on a series of projects and I was waiting and waiting and waiting all day from a call from somebody who I'm needing some technical assistance with a conversion on websites and everything else. And the guy never called me. Now, maybe he was off today. But at least, you know, if you're there, at least respond and say, no, you're going to have to talk to this, and this. Yeah, I saw that one. That's the one I think I saw. It's sickening. Michael just sent me the link, or either Michael did or possibly, no, it's probably, I knew who it was. You're actually listening? Thank you. Yeah, I wasn't sure if you're going to make it tonight or not. And all this stuff is insane. I don't know. Maybe she sent that to me. Thanks, Gwen. We're getting down to the last few minutes of the program, and I think with the insanity that we're dealing with in this nation, there's a new feature I've added to Metropolis.cafe. And do make sure that I get through this one, Michael, because it's not lengthy. I've added a new section called Word of the Day. And we've only entered 4 entries, but we will be doing a new one every single day. But this particular one came to me, which I'm not going to post, but I thought I would share it with you because we're living in very strange times. It is the weekend. We're nearing the end moments of the program. And there's a word that I found quite interesting that I'm not going to publish on the education site because we do draw students there. The word is CRAPULOUS. It's pronounced crapulous. It is an adjective generally given to or characterized by gross excess in drinking or eating. Now, its origin is Latin, mid-16th century, thereabouts. Its etymology is in Latin crapulosis, crapula, excessive drinking, inebriation, intoxication. Now, over the centuries, the use of the word has declined, although beginning around the end of 2019, it began to increase once again. Some of its synonyms include besotted, buzzed, drunken, inebriated, intoxicated, loaded. Now, obviously, some of these words, as we come further and further from the mid-18th century or whatever, or 17th century, whatever it was, we begin to find newer synonyms, such as plastered or smashed. Of course, the alternative is the antonym, which would be sober or straight. But one of the finest examples I could give would be, let's use my producer, Michael, as an example. The example might be, well, Michael was a little too crapulous to register what had happened. Now you understand why I will not be publishing that one on Metropolis.cafe, but I just felt that, I got you, man. I thought it was a good, uplifting, light way to end the week and end this program. Let's pull some tunes out and close it out, man. Maybe a little George Michael. It's a good lengthy piece. If I still got to babble for another minute or so, we can do it. Pull the long version out. I don't care. I hope I've left you much to think about this week. I'm hoping to get with my technical people to begin to resolve these website issues. Many of them have calmed down, but I choose to not stay with that particular provider any longer. I'm going to make some moves. When we get ready to make them on each of the websites, as we get prepared to go, I will put a note up there letting you know that we will probably be doing nothing on that respective website for at least a 24 to 48 hour period. Anyway, we're done. We're out of here. Y'all have a good weekend. I may or may not be here Monday, but I suspect I will maybe. And God bless y'all. Have a good one, will you? Take care. Good night.
If you are the dealer, I'm out of the game. If you are the healer, means I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, then mine must be the shame. You want it darker. We kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker. I'm ready, my lord. There's a lover in the story, but the story's still the same. There's a lullaby for suffering and a paradox to blame. But it's written in the scriptures and it's not some idle claim. You want it darker. We kill the flame. They're lining up the prisoners and the guards are taking aim. I struggled with some demons, they were middle class and tame. I didn't know I had permission to murder and to maim. You want it darker. I'm ready, my lord. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the love that never came. You want it darker. We kill the flame. If you are the dealer, let me out of the game. If you are the healer, I'm broken and lame. If thine is the glory, mine must be the shame. You want it darker.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.